This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Well, hello, Al.
Where's the first Jersey Mike's store?
I'm going to guess that it's in Delaware.
Down the shore somewhere.
Where? Of course, Jersey.
Point Pleasant.
You got it.
I got it.
Look at that. Who told you?
Nobody
whispered here.
Love Jersey Mike's. We had it yesterday. It was delicious.
Love it.
Before we
get
started.
Are you Jersey or New York?
I'm from New York, raised in Brooklyn, and
Long
in New
Island,
Jersey
but
now.
I'm moving to Jersey, actually, this weekend. So I wanted to have you on. I grew up diehard Met fan, of course, so I've always loved you. And they invited us out here and said, we got to have Al. See if you can get Al. So thank you for coming in and hanging out with
us. Lou!
Thank you, Lou, for making that happen. And I just wanted to say this. This is such a stupid story, but I had to say it.
Oh, boy.
So I would go to games at Shea, and I'd yell just like this, Al. Watch this. Sit him down, Al! That's what I would do.
I heard you. Come on.
Sit him down, Al.
Sit him down, Al. And then I'd give up a jack, and BT would be like, I knew he sucked.
No, you want somebody.
I want somebody. I got the 3-2. You know what Jim Leland used to tell our
Jimmy
our
Leland,
coach,
in between 17 Marlboros and the dugout?
I'm at 1997. First year with the Marlins is in 96 after the Blue Jays. And Jim gets they sign him as the manager. So we go to the World Series and we win. But I threw a lot of pitches. I was a guy that didn't give up the strike zone. I didn't concede to the hitter. Because I had a pitch where when I threw it right, it looked like a strike, but it was a ball. And I jammed a lot of guys. I came in on a righty. So he used to smoke during the game. He'd hold it and he'd turn over to Tommy Sant and say, tell me when he gets to 3-2. I had an argument with Steve Traxel because now we have this pitch clock. And he's like, what do you mean? You took longer than me. I was like, no.
Oh, he was the worst.
I threw way more pitches than you, but you took forever.
And by the way, Al, if you were coming up now based on the analytics and, you know,
oh my God.
Two, three times through the order, now I'm not talking about a pitch clock, but just in terms of you not being economical and you not conceding and bending in the strike zone, they probably would have tried to change you.
Yeah, good point. I luckily had Bobby Valentine. Bobby knew my maniacal stuff, and he left me alone.
Yep.
And I would tell Bobby V, even before the game, I'd go in, and I knew, you know, as a guy that is considered a front-end starter, and I always took pride when I got in that little window of a few years of being one of the better pitchers, and I would go in because I knew the last, say, three games, we were banged up a little bit, starters didn't go deep, and I would just, at the old Shea Stadium, you walk into the clubhouse, Bobby's office was to the left, and then you go to the right into our area, and I turned to Bobby, and all I had to say, I said, Bobby, don't worry about pitch count today. And I would just walk away. And but it was code for, you know, when you're in that spot, and I'll give up three walks. Like the whole thing with Blake Snell, I get it. If you have he's got a big banger curveball. He throws elevated high fastball. Don't concede to the hitter when you don't have to. You manage the lineup. Like, you're right. This is something that is missed because we're on metrics, we're on velocity, we're on spin efficiency, and I'm not totally knocking it because there's some measurements to it that helps a guy to get back on track, but you don't pitch to that. You pitch to the hitter in the box, and you learn about swings, and you learn about what's the guy trying to do, and what did I do in the last at bat, and I didn't pitch a chipper in the first inning because I'm going to throw something else in the third, and I got this for him in the sixth, mm-hmm. and all of that was like kind of the plan, right?
Yep.
As opposed to empty the tank. Empty the tank is for a reliever to come in for 13, 14, 15 pitchers. I get it. Wow. You know, let it go. Plus fastball, bury a couple breaking balls, you know, he swings at something out of the zone. That's what short inning guys do. We've seen it with starters. And it's just not as creative. So, yeah.
No. I mean, listen, we could sit here all day, but I know we want to get a couple of things about the Yanks and the Mets rotation. Al Leiter with us on.
By the way, I love your passion, and you guys represent a great sports area. And I wish every market in America would have this passion. And you're only representing the fan base. But I'm listening to you guys about, like, you know, Yankees and Mets and what if and all this. Go through the rosters of all of the teams. Look at Baltimore, what their roster. They trade for Corbin Burns.
They're better than the Yankees.
No, they're better than the Yankees, but are you banking on Craig Kimbrel as your closer?
Shouldn't be.
No.
Batista's out. I like Cano's arm. You know, my point is, I like Grayson Rodriguez. I think he's got a big arm. He's basically a guy that hasn't established himself yet. Bradish goes down. Like, you could go into every roster outside of maybe two or three. I think Atlanta's probably
the... And point out problems.
Yes.
I agree with
right.
you.
I think Atlanta's the least flawed team. The Dodgers scare me with respect to the rotation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to also bang. They're going to hit. But it's just. But I love it.
Right, but every team's got question marks. Appreciate but for a team that says all in, trying to win their first World Series or get to one since 2009, the ceiling and floor, the disparity is too great. Like, the question mark should be limited. You could say that with Baltimore or Houston or whoever. But for the Yankees, who talk about, yeah, we're going all in, World Series or bust, they have so many question marks that I think they could win 100 games if everything goes right. And if things go wrong, they could win 82 again and miss the postseason. That's kind of my point with them.
What's their payroll?
$317 million?
$317 million.
But that means nothing. You know
yes,
that.
Yes, it does.
But the Mets have a high payroll.
At some point, we own a team. We look at what we're making, and we push our payroll to where we don't want to like have to go back into our checking account anymore. Right?
Right?
I mean, we're really rich people, and we're like, but like that's our number. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying with maybe one of the starters that was out there, right? Especially with the uncertainty.
Well, they tried to get one. They ended up with Marcus Stroman. He's not Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery or certainly Corbin Burns.
Well, they didn't anticipate Garrett Cole going down. You don't set up your roster and go, okay, well, let's see if Garrett goes down for 3 weeks. You know, you have to have some plan B and plan C. My thing with the Yankees, and I'm with you, I think the offense, again, it's all predicated on health, but their offense is scary. I believe that, and I'm going to believe that they're healthy, and I'm going to believe that they do what they are capable of doing.
That's what I think.
So you can't like, wow, they've been hurt. Okay, well, let's just hope. I had a blister for 3 years.
You ever have mid-spring beat-up?
Yeah.
That's what the Yankees said, Judge.
That's what Judge
had. Mid-spring beat-up.
Oh, I've been hearing
for
the last 3 weeks I've heard about this.
He missed like 9 days
or
something.
Did somebody say that?
Yeah, Aaron Boone did.
They said mid-spring beat-up. I mean, what are they coming up with?
What do you want him to say? Hey. Exactly. You know, I'm not right now.
Al, mid-spring beat-up, it's a six-month season. The guy's always hurt his body, playing the outfield.
You know what I used to say when I had my fourth start in spring training, Port St. Lucie against the Marlins or whoever the Cardinals are, and it was 4 1/3, and you got to your pitch count, and I gave up 4 runs, and my ERA was 9. And all the guys, how you doing? And I'm standing there. You know what I used to do? Because I always worked on a changeup. And I know they didn't have metrics. They weren't doing like all that. I said, what happened? Boy, I increased my changeup today. I left a few up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, Joey hit there, Pujols got me, or whatever. You know, it's part of it.
Part of the verbiage, you mean?
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't worry about if a guy's trying to make a team and that player's not having a good spring, that's a concern.
Like Volpe was trying to make the team a year ago. He absolutely went bonkers, lights out. If he would have hit 190 in the spring, he's not on the Yankees at that point. And speaking of Volpe, we know the path of you, a Jersey guy, drafted by the Yankees, 83, 84, come up a couple of years later, the blister issues, traded for Jesse Barfield, and of course distinguished yourself big time after that. Your son's an outstanding pitcher, Vanderbilt, which is one of the best academic and baseball schools in the country. He's a stud, played with Volpe at Del Barton. And I asked you when you came over, I said, because you saw Anthony was since kindergarten, did you think he was going to be a pro? Like, what did you see then Were you right or wrong? Two-parter. Number one, when did you think that you, because I always find this interesting, somebody who made it, could make it, and what did you see in a young Volpe that said he could make it?
All right, I'll do mine first.
Okay.
I never trusted anything. I always thought that the bad was not far behind. Don Mattingly told me that.
Oh.
But this was
even in high school.
No, this was before I met Donnie.
Okay.
No, I was drafted the second pick by the Yankees. I was the 50th pick overall. I thought I would try this pro ball thing. I already had two brothers in professional baseball with the Orioles.
Mark, right? And
Kurt.
Yeah.
You know, he was kind of the trailblazer for pro ball for the lighter boys. And then I thought, you know, I did. I got a signing bonus I couldn't refuse. I got a big money, $105,000. I'll tell
nice.
You right now.
Get a little Trans Am back then? What were you driving?
You know, I bought a Buick Riviera.
Ah, there you go.
How pathetic was I, huh? Everybody's buying these. Like,
I would have had a Trans Am.
Oh,
I got
I
this
should've.
For you.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
would have. Keep going.
So I never believed I would make it. And it was part of the insecurity of just the nature of the game. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get over that?
Yeah, I think once I got – all right, so here – so I Champ Summers was a hitting coach for Bucky Dent, my manager in AAA in Columbus, Ohio, for the Clippers in 1987. And Champ calls for me. He says, Skip wants to see you. I'm like, Bucky? And Bucky's trying to be cute about whatever, the call. And he goes, you're going to New York. And I swear I wasn't being a smarty. I said, for what? And he goes, beep, you stupid, beep, beep, beep. You're going to Yankee Stadium. So my point was that even when I got the call.
It was unexpected a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I think the baseball gods are real. I think when you start like, and I was never that good where I could be, you know, we're looking at Jackson Holliday and the Bryce Harpers and,
yep.
you know, just magnificent talent. I wasn't, so I had to grind.
Gotcha.
So when did I think Anthony could play in the big leagues? It's a dream. You're one of very few in the on the planet. I believed what I saw in high school. And I'll tell you why. This kid.
But not before that, to be clear, before you
no,
keep going.
No,
like, not like he
so
was
my
12.
story real quick. And I know that you guys got to go do your thing. But my
you are our thing right now.
So I'm with the Mets. It's a day game. I lived on the Upper East Side with my wife and my four kids by now. And Jack is five, or just five. I forget the year. And they're at a playground. But the story before, and then I get to the apartment and I run up to this playground.
Okay.
Prior to that, my son Jack went to the same park and would throw wall ball with mm-hmm. with a tennis
oh, yeah,
ball.
Yeah, we got it.
And there was this game going on, and this man comes over to Jack and says, "Hey, little boy, do you want to play NBD the ball?"
Let's see, I gotta trust this guy. No,
and,
I keep walking.
And
dude.
Jack,
I know
being my shy son, he's like, "No, like a little shy kid." My wife is watching this, mm-hmm. so she walks across the playground right up to this guy and says, "Hey, did you ask my son to play?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, oh my, I didn't mean anything." She's like, "No, he would love to play." So gets Jack in this game. Sure enough, I show up after a Mets game from Shea. I walk out on this playground, and there's kids playing everywhere, and there's this man pitcher. And Jack goes, "Dad!" And he looks over, and Michael Volpe, Anthony's dad, is the dad. And he looks, he goes, "How late is your dad?" So fast stop,
yep,
period.
Yep, that's crazy.
Fast forward to the youth baseball craziness of summer ball, et cetera. You know, Anthony Volpe's name was already, you know, already a name by like eighth grade. Like he was on USA, this, that, and the other. And my yep. kid was, you know, he was kind of little engine that could. He caught up. And it just so happens, live in Summit, the Volpes are out in Warren, and Del Barton is a convenient, you know, it's a great school, by
great,
the way.
Great school.
Great school. And they come back and play together. So they're together freshman year through, you know, the draft.
And he was going to go to Vanderbilt. Anthony was, if he didn't wind up getting drafted by the Yankees in the first
round.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wow.
So, but I know. I bet on work ethic. I bet on desire, love.
IQ.
This kid, and I know there's a lot of kids out there that work, you know, and it might work you to get to Division I program or maybe to minor leagues or maybe become the shortstop for the Yankees. But he has that. Mm-hmm. And this kid does nothing, much of anything else. I shouldn't say nothing, but eat, sleep, drink baseball.
I know.
I mean, it's and he's a great kid, not a good kid, a great kid. So like,
You're not surprised.
But where does it go? We'll see.
Do you think he has an all-star type of ceiling?
Yes.
He's got to be an all-star type of ceiling in a couple of years,
He'll figure it out.
Yep.
There's guys that figure it out. And his talent is there. I don't know what the number looks like, but it's better than 205 or whatever.
209, no question.
Yeah, yeah.
He had no idea what he was doing.
Well,
he's just figuring things out. He's a kid.
And it's scary.
With nothing behind him, by the way.
Guys, I got to the big leagues in 1987. I'm on the mound. I'm warming up at Yankee Stadium against the Milwaukee.
Who was your catcher that night? Do you remember?
Rick Cerrone.
Oh, Rick was still there. That's right. Rick was still there.
Timeout. Yeah, you talk about pretty cool. Even though I'm a Mets fan, I got Don Mattingly at first.
Donnie Baseball.
Willie Randolph at second. Bobby Meacham at short.
Who was a first round draft
choice,
Bobby Meacham?
Mike Pagliarulo out of San Diego State.
I know he was.
San Diego.
Pags.
Ricky Henderson in left.
Yeah.
Claudel Washington.
Good lefty hitter.
And Dave Winfield.
There we go.
The rotation.
Was Rags a starter or in the
Rags was
at
a closer.
Point? He was the closer.
So
at this point.
I win the game. We win the game.
Yeah.
And Rags closes it out.
Nice.
And he comes in. And Rags is my mentor. I saw him out in Arizona when I visited Jack. I love Dave Righetti. Like he could do no wrong. He's my guy.
Got it.
And Rags comes over with the ball. And I'm like on cloud nine. I win my debut. And he says, and he's such a smart. And he's like, sign this. And I take it. You guys know baseball. You're supposed to sign on the sweet spot. And I'm thinking it's a team ball. So I sign it really small on like the horse show. And he's like, what are you doing, baby? He goes, sign it on the sweet spot. I'm like, oh, I didn't know it was just me. This is Dave Righetti.
You still have it?
No, he wanted me
to
sign it
for him.
Yeah, because he was seeing. Because they were painting me like.
I know they were. I remember that.
From Guidry to Righetti to me.
I remember that.
Yeah. All this Yankee talk here.
All right, let's go, Mets.
It's making me think, Al, you grooving with Louis Soho. I mean, what are you doing?
Well, let me hear it. JT's rolling in this. Go, let's go.
Did you groove with BT? Did you groove with
JT?
Brandon
Tierney.
Get him out of here. He's off.
Did you groove one to Soho in 2000? You broke my heart. No. You think the Mets are going to be good? You think the Mets are going to be good?
He wants to talk about the Mets.
No,
he's talking about grooving it.
Yeah.
Man, I'm still mad about that. Dang it.
So am I.
No, I'm mad because I didn't walk Posada. That is, go look at that pitch. That ball right there. Bam, Piazza nails it. I throw that cutter. Ball. One pitch later, Brocious hits a little over Robin's head, and then the next pitch is Louis, the first pitch.
God, I know.
No, but you know what? It's 2-2 in the ninth, and I tell Bobby, the Mets put me in their Hall of Fame this past summer, and I wanted Bobby to be there, and I was very grateful because he flew back from the Angels. He does TV there. I said, Bobby, you got to be there. I meant it. I'm like, Bobby, I'm not here. First of all, Steve Phillips, thank you for trading for me,
right?
Because I'm not here, and being a Mets fan as a kid.
To be in their Hall of Fame.
Wow. I mean, it's such a dream.
Hey, you were a warrior. So, all kidding aside, the reason why I loved you, not only because you were a warrior and ultimate competitor and would fight out there, but because you wore your emotions on your sleeve. The faces, the tug in the hat, the just frustration out there, I loved it. Yeah. And you got obviously a great personality, which has led to your broadcasting career, which has been a successful one as well. But as a fan, I love that from you. You wearing it. Other guys, it's like, does he really give a crap? But you,
no.
I knew you wore it as a method.
And honestly, some of the stuff after, it was kind of embarrassing, some of it. I was Jekyll and Hyde. Like, the day I pitched, I hear about Max Scherzer, it was true. Like, I'm goofy, I'm lefty, and I like to have fun. But game day, it's this all day. Like, when I have lunch, when I take a nap, when I drive to the field, how I go into the clubhouse, all of it.
You drove Piazza nuts, didn't you?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Mike probably wouldn't admit to it. Maybe on the sidebar he would.
You think the Mets are going to be okay this year?
I love their offense. I think their offense is going to be really good.
But you love that you like or you love?
I just want to make sure I'm going to challenge him on that.
Fair enough. I think they're going to score a lot of runs. Now, whether that's top five in the league, I don't know. But I think when you have a guy that is a beast in Alonso, I really like J.D. Martinez. Righty-lefty doesn't matter. His best swing is right-center. He could carve a breaking ball going away. Frankie Lindor, he's he's a dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it. Alvarez is scary good. I think that's there. I want to see what Brett Beatty's all about. I really do.
Yeah, I'll save you the suspense. He's not very good.
No, don't go there.
No, I said it about Vientos, and I was proven right. He's down in the minors now.
No, that doesn't mean anything.
I think Beatty can hit.
I didn't figure it out till I was 27. I got to the big leagues at 21. I don't ever do that to anybody.
You think New York guys like me yelling about it or fans wanting immediate results can hurt a young kid like
yes.
that?
Yes, yeah. But I wouldn't listen. I'm telling you right now, guys, and my son, he's off of social media. I said, Jack, there's nothing good about this.
Nothing.
People don't like other people doing good stuff. People don't like successful.
They're jealous.
You guys know this. You right. guys have a radio show. You make good money. You're talking yeah. sports. You got all those idiots that make these critics of your
they
stuff.
They hate us online.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I did Yankee games for 12 years. There wasn't one nice comment from one of the guys. Not one. Not even like, hey, Al Leiter's an idiot. But the third inning was pretty good.
Yeah, not one.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Right. So
that's
you guys
awesome.
Are in the same thing. And when you're at the top, right, everybody can see, you know.
Well, it's funny, though, you say that because I always say, like.
But don't listen to you guys.
Well,
I would say
right.
this.
Me too. That's what I would say, the same thing. Where I get, oh, you're too hard on this guy. I'm like, why are they listening?
Don't listen.
I call Boone a data applicator and he takes offense. But why is Aaron Boone worried about what we're saying?
Because here's the problem. You got idiot friends that tell you.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I was adamant. It was Mike and the Mad Dog. Let's face it. Mike and the Mad Dog back in the day.
No doubt.
And if I had a bad game, you think I was flipping that on, driving over to
They weren't entertaining.
No, but I'm not going to hear that.
What if you had a good game? Did you want to hear the positive stuff?
Kinda. I did. But you know what?
It's human nature.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I walk by it in the Upper East Side and all the newspapers are there. And if I had a bad game, you think I turned it over to see, like, Leiter stinks? No. On the back page of Daily News and Post. But it was a pretty good game. Like, oh,
you know, after Cincinnati, you were turning that paper over. After
right.
the
one, right.
One nothing.
But you got to filter it because you get the BS in there.
Yep.
That's the hardest thing about New York.
Everybody's looking
trying
for
to filter the BS.
Filter it.
Al, I was going to say, pardon me, the younger generation, sadly, is looking for constant adulation and almost like validation. And that's a scary
and
thing to chase.
In addition to that, and I'm totally against it, and if I was in charge, I would get the guys in there and say, guys, when you're best, at your best, what are you thinking? And I'm going to say 10 out of 10 guys, oh, I'm not thinking anything.
Nothing.
Right.
Clear mind. You know that. You played.
Nothing.
You played
don't think,
sport.
Just do.
When you have a great game, man, what were you thinking? Nothing, man. The ball looked like a balloon. Wow, my delivery. I didn't care where my arm was. It, boom. You know, it was good.
Yeah.
So get your right. guys yeah. to say, do me a favor. Turn all of this off for a month. Just bear down on what you have control of. Your process, your routine, your program. Your discipline, all of that, and then see what it looks like. But you have guys, and what you're saying, they want the adulation, all
they
that.
They need it.
No, but come out. They got shoe deals. They got their own shoes. They got their own clothing line. They got their own shows. What?
Yeah, podcast.
Play 6 months of baseball.
Yep.
What do it after. God.
Do you ever want to coach or anything like that? Because you could help, I think.
I love coaching, but I'm a little stingy with my time and schedule. And thank God I did well, and I did well after the game. So that's
doing?
Why this here, they give me this opportunity. I do shows here and there. I love this building. By the way,
this
Luke,
is the greatest thing
this
ever.
Place, honestly, guys.
It's fantastic.
Have you been here before?
First time for me.
Oh,
first
my
time.
God. You got to go over to 21. That really, this if you're a baseball fan, Little League, middle school, high school, like, this is the place.
Well, it's heaven.
They don't know it yet, but we'll be back every day because the BT and Sal Simulcast is coming to the MLB Network very soon.
Hey, you saw the boss bag come in.
What do you do with your free time then? You
golf?
Or, like, what are you doing?
I like golf, but I'm not good enough.
So what's Al Leiter doing?
Hold on. What's your handicap?
15.
How are you not better than a 15?
Because I don't golf enough.
Okay, fair enough.
And my
fair
ADD enough. Kicks in around hole 14. I think it should be 14 holes.
You have
to- I think it should be 7-7. Yeah, I do.
Nine,
if somebody maybe. Comes up with a course that has 1, 9, 1, 7, 9, 14, 18. They're going to make a lot of money.
Do you unwind?
You want the 14-hole round or you want the 18-hole round?
I want the 18.
I'm fascinated
more time to, you know, get away from reality, quite frankly. You know what I mean?
What's your handicap?
Oh, I won't bore anybody. I know the game well. I play it. I don't play. I'm a good putter, good chipper.
I asked you your handicap.
I'm getting there.
Oh yeah.
I don't
yeah,
really
yeah.
have.
Come on, JT.
Supposed to answer the end.
No, listen, dude. I don't. I'm getting there because the answer is I'm going to start playing right-handed this year after playing lefty.
What
for a long
is
time.
Your handicap?
I don't have one right-handed.
Oh, okay.
That's my point.
So you're bad.
Listen, no, not bad. Like, no.
You can't even make up a handicap.
No, no. Yeah. If I'm shooting well on my course, I go high 80s if I'm putting decent.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I could easily go 95. I'm not shooting 109, dude.
But, I don't know.
But you said
you asked me my handicap. I said 15. Yeah, I asked you. It's 5 minutes later.
I gave you five chapters.
But
I've never been.
It started this because you said you value your time. I am very curious. Somebody that's high strung like you. I know you do the MLB Network stuff. Obviously, you're following your family around, your son, and all that stuff. Is that what you're doing? The majority. Like, what does Al Leiter do if you're not playing golf all the time? What are you doing in retirement, post baseball life?
Okay, great question. I dabble in some businesses. And I've been part of some really cool stuff. And I think that has helped deviate my interest elsewhere. That has opened up a whole other Pandora's box of
not
areas.
Just baseball.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I don't want to bore you with. But
no,
it's
fine.
Well, you love politics too, right?
Well, yeah.
Oh, you're a political guy.
Whoa, we can't bring up politics now.
You can bring it up here.
Yeah,
Without going crazy.
No, it's good.
Nobody's good. That's the bottom line.
I'd vote for you. Put it that way. I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw you battle. I love your personality. You get my vote. Who are you running
for? Would you vote for Jeff McNeil?
No, I wouldn't. I vote for Al Leiter, though. I'll tell you that. You get my vote. You're done. Whatever you need. I endorse.
All right.
Sal Licata endorsed.
All right.
And BT, I'm assuming you endorse as well. BT.
I do.
I got it.
Not JT,
Brandon.
Not BT. Not whatever the hell you call me. Come back from break. Al, we could do this all day, but we can't. And again, I think Sal said something really, really interesting about you. Maybe I'll use different words. It's like your quirkiness and like your just it almost came across like your imperfections. There was a fallibility that most pro athletes don't project that I think resonated with the average fans. So even as a Yankee guy and you're doing your thing with the Mets, always respected you the way you attacked your craft. I think your ability to relate to people is a great thing.
Honest, being honest and accept your faults.
Yeah.
I'll always remember going on, and I'll end with this, and Chris Russo works here.
Yeah,
but it would come out, Allie, you gave up three home runs. I think he meant so we got you. I'm like, and you know what I did? I said, you're right. I can't believe Fred Wilpon's paying you $10 million a year. I'm like, I can't either. No. But then you disarm.
You totally disarm.
As opposed to being insecure.
What do you mean? Why wouldn't he give me $10 million? I'm the best player on the team.
No.
And then Mantle's got you right where you
want. I went the other way. I went the other way. I said, you're right. I stink. I can't believe they pay me.
This was awesome. Give me some. Thanks for coming over, Al. Really appreciate you, dude.
Thank you, Al.
That was fantastic. BT and Sal.
BT
and
Al, sit him down.
Yep, come to Shea and beat the Mets.
Whoa. Well, ready,
you guys
ready?
Were singing your version. I got my version.
We're singing. Hold on.
God, you can sing it as
Dolph,
much as
cue it up. Can you get us a little Meet the Mets?
Give a little Mets here.
Meet the Mets. Come on down and meet the Mets. Bring your kitties. Bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life because the Mets are really sucking that ball.
Hitting the home runs over the wall.
East side, west side. Come on, everybody, down
to
meet the M-E-T-S Mets of New York town.
Oh, that's good. Can I give it up?
Thank you very much, Al. I love you.
That was good. And we'll be back to Kiter's Corner in a minute. The Mets lose 11-2 to the Phillies here. We'll come back with a recap. BT, that was awesome. You knew every single word. That was great.
All right.
We love you, Al. Keep it up, buddy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.